He's our fiscal watchdog. Connecticut State Comptroller Sean Scanlon joins Melissa in the morning now on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
So this is a very exciting treat. I don't know how often he'll come into studio because it was a little bit of a trek, but I so appreciate it. Comptroller Sean Scanlon, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good to be here in person.
I know. It's very cool. Yeah. You and I have seen each other, I feel like, from afar sometimes, either at parades or if you're coming in to see one of the other shows.
Yeah.
But we've never been able to do one of these. It's very fun.
Great to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. So we have a lot to get into. Let's talk about MyCT Savings. First of all, you and I have talked about this on the show several times, but recap for people if they don't remember, what is it?
So basically, it's Connecticut's first ever publicly run retirement plan for small business and nonprofits. Half the workers in Connecticut don't get offered a retirement plan through their job. That's not because the employer doesn't want to. In most cases, it's because the employer can't afford to. Mm-hmm. And so this is our way of helping to close that retirement gap at no cost to the business, right? And so we have traveled across the state. I've probably done 60 downtown business walks where I literally go into businesses and hand out flyers. And when I took office last January, we had 700 companies signed up. As of today, we have 7,000. So we've clearly made a lot of progress. We've got a lot of people signed up. But if you're listening to this show and you've got a small business, check out myctsavings.com and sign up and help us help your employees. And it's completely free to you.
So does it matter what size your workforce is?
Five and up is the law that says that they're eligible for it, but we do allow independent contractors to sign up. So if you're a one-person business, then you can sign up on your own, but every business, five or more, is eligible for it.
I mean, in a year's time, 700 to 7,000, that is nothing to scoff at. Why do you think so many people like this option?
Well, first of all, I think people are having a hard time recruiting and retaining people right now, and they want to be competitive, and benefits are hard because it's coming out of their pocket, right? My mom ran a small business. If she wanted to do health insurance or retirement, that was coming out of her pocket and therefore not going to our kitchen table, right? And so I think in a time when people want help with offering good benefits and we can do that for them for free, it's a big deal. But the second thing is I think we're becoming more understanding about retirement, right? Because the boomer generation is now mass retiring and they don't have any savings. My mom does not have any savings. And so I think we're learning a lesson that anything you can do to save early is a big deal for you as we live longer. And that desire to just offer benefits and do right by your people is a really important thing.
Well, I'm not a betting girl, but if I were to bet, every single time you present this to a business, Comptroller, I'm wondering, is the number one question, how in the world is this free?
Yeah, I think that there's that whole idea of like, this sounds too good to be true.
Right.
And what I tell them is like, hey, don't believe me, like call your accountant, right? Like show the website to them, go over the numbers and call me back. And I think most people do that. But I think over time, right, the word of mouth is spreading too, right? And so I used to do these business walks where nobody would know what this is. And now I do business walks where almost everybody knows something about it. And they say, well, yeah, I thought that that was BS. But then my next door neighbor, the jewelry store, signed up for it. And they said, oh, you got to do this, right? So a word of mouth over time, building that trust with these communities, doing these walks, I think it's making a big difference. And obviously, we're seeing a lot of growth.
Yeah. And again, we have Comptroller Sean Scanlon in studio with us. We're talking about MyCT Savings, which has grown tremendously in just about a year or so's time. How is it free, though? Where's the money coming from?
So it's all coming from their employees. So
okay.
The employees do pay small fees, but those fees are much smaller than they would be on the private market. And with our scale and our ability to sort of do this on our own and manage it in-house, we're able to save those employees money. I'm actually trying to save them even more money by partnering with other states. Like Rhode Island is trying to pass a bill right now to do it. And then we can combine forces and then lower the fees for all people. And so that's kind of the next step in all this. But right now, the employee pays a very small fee and the employer does not pay anything.
Okay. So like when we say small fee, and I know it obviously it's going to range, but I mean, when we're talking about, let's say your paycheck, you get $500 every 2 weeks or something, like would that small fee be $20 or something?
No,
or?
it's pennies on the dollar.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Compared to the investment, right?
Oh, okay.
So the average, the default saving contribution is 3%, but people can up that if they want to. And so when you pay your check, you're doing a 3% deduction on that, and you're paying a very small fee on top of that. It's not something that you're going to pay hundreds of dollars per month or per pay period. It's not like that.
That's amazing. So we have Comptroller Sean Scanlon here. And of course, if you want to go to myctsavings.com, you could certainly do that. You can contact his office as well if you have more questions. With MyCT Savings, if I can remember correctly, Comptroller, don't quote me on this, but I feel like one of the last times we talked about it, we were reaching a deadline though. Mm. Is there any penalty if people have not opted out of this option? Or am I confusing that with something else?
No, you're not. That is true. There was a deadline. We tried to do this all by a certain deadline last year. I extended the deadline. And the reason for that is right now, the penalty is that I can take a business to court who does not sign up. In my first few days in office, I said, I'm not taking anybody to court for that. Right?
I'm not that guy.
I'm not that guy. So there's no penalty in that sense right now. But we're trying to do proactively get people to sign up for this, right? And we are working in the legislature right now to try to pass a bill that would create some very small penalties over a very long period of time for a business. But at the end of the day, I'm not trying to be the police here and crack down on businesses. I just want to help them, and I know that I can. But business owners are really busy, right? They get a lot of stuff in the mail. They got a lot of competing interests. And so a lot of times when we do these walks, they're like, yeah, I think I got something in the mail about that, or I saw a TV ad when I was pumping my gas. But now that you're here, you totally reminded me that I need to do this, right? And so that's what we're really trying to do.
We have Comptroller Sean Scanlon in studio with us, and we were just talking about MyCT Savings, which, again, that website is myctsavings.com. I want to switch gears, if you don't mind, Comptroller, and talk about Array RX. I actually used the program last month on one of my son's medications, and it dropped the price significantly. What was interesting is the pharmacist said, oh, I'm so glad you use this. This has been around, and no one, it seems like, is using it.
Yeah.
Have you found that people know about Array RX and that they actually have access to it?
Well, we've had over 20,000 people sign up for it. But
obviously,
in a state of 3.5 million, we still got some work to do. And so, you know, for anyone listening right now, if you're fed up with the high cost of your prescription drugs, which is a ridiculously, uniquely American problem, then I would ask you to go to Array, which is ARRAYRXcard.com, download this free card. And again, similar to MyCT Savings, let us help you save on the cost of drugs, and it's completely free for you.
So how does that work? Because Array RX, if I remember correctly, that used to be something that was more of a benefit if you were a state worker. Do I have that kind of correct? I don't remember.
So right now, I, as the comptroller, run the largest healthcare plan in Connecticut. We've talked about this before. 300,000 people get their health insurance through my office, and we have large contracts with pharmaceutical companies and pharmacy benefit managers who are sort of the weird middlemen between drug companies and insurance companies that decide what goes on something called a formulary, which is the list of drugs that your insurance will cover. Because of our large sort of involvement in that game and every other state's involvement in it, we decided to kind of team up with some states and basically say, hey, let's take all of our leverage and then give it not just to our state employees, but to everybody in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And so we joined three other states in this Array RX coalition. We have a relationship with one of the good PBMs called Navitus, and that's what allows you to go and use that card. But it's not coming out of the pocket of your pharmacist, right? Everyone sort of thinks, well, I want to use this, but I don't want to hurt my local pharmacist. It doesn't, because he or she already has a contract with this PBM. You're now just using that contract. And so far, the average savings has been about $200 for people who are using this. But again, it's something that we need to get more people to sign up for.
And it might even be, Comptroller, a top-of-mind thing. That's what I kind of got from the pharmacist. So we've been going to the same pharmacy for 5 years now, and they rotate out probably two or three of the leaders there. And one of them is very, you know, how can I help you kind of a guy. Like, he knows the industry really well. And then there are others who are, you know, clock in, clock out. Nothing wrong with them. They do their job, but they're not thinking like, oh, do you happen to have the Array RX card? So it's I think it's also just getting people to keep it top of mind, which we've never had a card that we could say, hey, actually, can you check and see if this is cheaper with this?
It's the first time ever, and I'm going around the state trying to promote it, but you know, I can only go to so many senior centers, right? And this is for everybody. It's not just for senior centers. And so really just trying to raise awareness is a big deal. And we've tried to talk to the pharmacists. That was the first group that we ever met with about this. And to your point, some are really good about it. And you see some pharmacies where like hundreds of people are signed up, and then there's some that are none.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the difficulty of pitching this thing.
But the majority of pharmacies in Connecticut, though, are aligning with this.
98% of them.
All right. So you have a pretty good shot of having that work. All right. And we have Comptroller Sean Scanlon, who is here again. And let's talk about April. It is Financial Literacy Month. And I wanted to know from you, what does that mean, I guess, for you in your office? And what are some things that you've been focusing on for this month?
Well, for us as the Comptroller, Financial Literacy Month is like Christmas because we're the nerds that want people to sort of be financially literate. But for me, again, having grown up raised by a single mom who was a small business owner, my mom never got that financial literacy from her parents, right? My father's parents were both Irish immigrants, right? They had no idea about the stock market or savings or Roth IRAs, right? And far too many people in Connecticut are in the same boat where they're not getting it from their parents because their parents didn't get it from their grandparents. If we can break that generational cycle of financial illiteracy, we can set more people up for success. In Connecticut, starting in 2 years, every kid who graduates from high school will have to pass a financial literacy class, which I love. But before we get there, I'm just trying to raise awareness about the importance of this. Because it's never too early to start saving for retirement, and it's also never too late because anything that you save is going to matter. And I see this with my mom. She's in her 70s. She's still working every day because she can't afford to retire, and far too many people are in that situation.
And I also find, Comptroller, with this, you know, oftentimes a lot of people will have their first ever sit down to look at things like, do I want a Roth? Do I, you know, how do I want to invest? It's when they're in their first real job, if they have like a real company. And sometimes your first, I guess, big boy, big girl job that offers you these kinds of benefits, that may not be until years after you graduate college. And, and I know I've sat in these meetings before with colleagues of mine who are 28, 29 years old and have absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking. I mean, I grew up in a household where this was very common. We've, you know, my dad is friends with, you know, all kinds of brokers, financial people, whatever. So I grew up around this.
Yeah.
Most people do not.
Right.
And I think the fact that we're tackling schools, love that. But as far as, you know, even the way that I would say, so I've talked to people who are financial, they help with your retirement and things like that. I feel like a lot of them will say, you know, you're too young to start talking about investing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we change that, like that narrative of, you know, you have to build up a, you know, $200,000 or $300,000. I don't know why that's, I mean, probably because they're not making money off of them.
Yeah.
But I think that also is sort of the narrative that young people believe, which is, okay, I guess I have time and I just, there's no point in saving till I'm like 50, 60 years old.
Yeah. And that's totally wrong. And I think it's really important that young people, you know, so I'm 37, right? So I am the youngest person to ever have this job. And people who are my peers and friends in your 30s, you're like, I'm going to live forever. It's 60 years, you know, until I die at best, or 30 until I retire, right? I can save later. No. The more you save now, the better. When we talk about my CD savings, if the average person was making $50,000 and putting aside that 3% and work for 30 years, they'd retire with $300,000, right?
Right.
That's not enough to live on, but it's better, damn better than most people retire on these days.
That's
and
true.
If I can get them to do that, they can. I think the part, the hard part about this is a lot of this stuff is complicated and intimidating to people.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know who to talk to, and they don't have an Edward Jones guy that they go to, and they don't know where to go. And I think part of why I think the government has a responsibility is just give people simple information, and if they're interested in it, they will learn more. A couple years ago, we had this big thing with GameStop, right, where all these people in their parents' basements basically manipulated the stock market. There's
right.
a great movie about it that just came out a few months ago. So people can really make a big difference, and you can start to learn how to do this on your own. And on Reddit, you can basically learn how to be a good investor.
Mm.
You just have to want to do it. And so I think part of this is just about trying to encourage people to want to do it and then helping them find the way to do it if they're interested.
Yeah. And I was thinking financial advisor. I don't know why I couldn't get broker out of my mind, but advisor. That's what I was thinking of. But it's so true. And I do love, you said that it's going to start being incorporated as courses, you said, in 2 years in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Okay. But until then, certainly it is worth having that conversation and trying to find resources to be able to talk more about it and normalize it. Because I think you're right. I think there's just this, again, narrative that we're not supposed to even think about this till we're, you know, well into our 50s.
And it's so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's so wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Comptroller Sean Scanlon, I am sorry that we ran out of time because I loved having you in studio.
Always goes quick.
It really does. But I do know we'll talk again soon, probably over the phone. But I love that you made the trip down here. It really meant a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Comptroller Sean Scanlon in studio here with us on WICC.